I think Bob's joking when he points at the station wagon parked out front of Split Airport, the one we're about to drive into Sarajevo. It's lime green with a tangerine orangina painted down the side. What's worse, it's right-hand drive, a British Vauxhall. Bosnia, Croatia, everywhere in the Balkans is left-hand drive. It just makes no sense to me, driving a billboard on wheels into a city the Serbs have been pounding with artillery and sniping at since the Civil War started in 1992. Does he want to give them something to shoot at? Bob catches my look and asks if it's a little too early for me. I can't tell if he means it sarcastically. But it's only 6:30, and I decide to keep quiet and let him think I'm sleepy. Anyway, there's nothing I can do now. Although I don't work for him, he outranks me. And that's not to mention that I don't have another way to get to Sarajevo. I tell myself it'll be fine. We'll part ways as soon as we get to Sarajevo. But the car does break every rule in the book. From day one, they drilled into our heads never to drive a car people will remember. You drive something plain vanilla, like a dirty, dinged-up brown sedan. People forget plain and ugly things. This station wagon is definitely ugly, but it's a car no one will ever forget. An ice cream truck, bells jingling, would attract less attention. Truth is, I think Bob's a little nutty. I met him in Sarajevo the first time when Washington cabled us to meet an operative going by the name of Harold. Harold's an alias, right? I asked Charlie, an ex-Marine pilot I work with. We both wonder who'd agree to an alias like Harold. The only other thing the cable said was that he'd wait for us at 11 at a fish restaurant on the Zeljanica River, 10 miles outside of town. It was a soft spring day. Small, fluffy clouds drifted across the sky, and the leaves were just coming out. The restaurant was packed with locals drinking and chain-smoking. "Riley! Charlie!" a voice called out. It was obviously Harold. He stood up, motioning us to come over, like he was berthing an airliner. He was at a table with a half-dozen men, talking and waving a half-defoliated cigar. Charlie and I didn't move, so Harold got up, said something to the men that made them laugh, and threaded his way through the tables to join us. He stuck out his hand. "Hi, I'm Bob," he said. So much for the Harold alias. We found a free table in the corner. Washington hadn't told us what we were supposed to do for Bob, only to hear him out. Bob said we should have lunch and recommended the grilled trout. When we told him we couldn't stay, he got right to it. Headquarters had sent him to Sarajevo to go after Hezbollah, the Lebanese militant group backed by Iran. It had set up in Bosnia at the beginning of the civil war to fight with the Bosnian Muslims at the behest of Iran. "Done right, we'll pin him down like butterflies," Bob proclaimed. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Charlie concentrating, making sure he'd heard right. I was sure he was thinking the same thing I was. It was Hezbollah operatives that were hunting us rather than the other way around. 3 months ago, we'd caught Hezbollah planning to kidnap, torture, and kill a CIA operative here. We pulled him out in the middle of the night, right before Hezbollah's plan was to be executed. Bottom line, we were playing in Hezbollah's backyard. Bob must have seen the expression on our faces. "Invisibility," he said, "we become invisible." He talked about the stuff he'd learned in Lebanon during the Civil War from Hezbollah itself, how Hezbollah created their own protective covering by constantly moving between houses, changing cars and routes, staying off the telephone and radios, and never patronizing any one establishment exclusively. "Why can't we do the same?" he said, smiling. Bob relit his cigar, sending up a fat column of smoke that crouched over the table. The cigar looked Cuban. I wondered where he'd gotten it. Probably in Sarajevo's black market, where you could find anything from machine guns to stolen cars. That was pretty much it for the first meeting. I wouldn't see Bob again until this day, in front of Split Airport, leading me toward a car you can see from the surface of the moon. I throw my bag into the back of the station wagon and climb in the passenger side. So much for being invisible, I think. We start the 5-hour drive to Sarajevo not saying a word. Bob breaks the silence by telling me how he's rented the car from a British former military officer who owns a small travel agency in Sarajevo. "What does he think you do?" I ask. It doesn't matter. The point is, he'll catch any flack the car draws, not us. I nod my head, letting him think he's convinced me of the logic of it, and we fall into another long silence. As he darts in and out of a British tank convoy, I can't figure out how he sees to pass. I wonder about the butter-yellow houses we are passing, with their red-tiled roofs. How was it that an incredibly bloody war started in a place like this? These people are modern Europeans, and then one day, I don't know, sitting around watching a national football championship on Eurovision, they picked up axes and started killing each other. Croats slaughtering Serbs, Serbs slaughtering Bosnian Muslims. Aren't they all Slavs? And don't they look alike and speak the same language? It just doesn't make sense to me. But headquarters doesn't really care if I know next to nothing about Bosnia. My job is to surveil the Arab Mujahideen who showed up here at the beginning of the war. Period. At Sarajevo's outskirts, I point to a trolley stop, telling Bob I'll get off here. He shakes my hand, and I watch his lime-green station wagon as it disappears into traffic. I don't mind when it starts to rain and I reach to pull up the hood of my parka. The fresh air and uncomplicated anonymity feel good.